Welcome all of you listening to Osho Radio. Every week we make a program for you, 1 week in English, the other week in Hindi, in which we play a discourse by Osho and you can listen to music from the world of Osho. Just sit back, relax and enjoy.
Kalanadam kilsa vishadam roditi yamuna samba
Today's discourse is from the series I Am That, number 9. Osho talks about the fact that action alone can bring darkness, but meditation alone can bring an even bigger darkness. He compares the situation in the East where people have been meditating for thousands of years and have remained very poor with the West, where meditation is lacking and action is what it is all about. At least, Osho says, they have gained a certain standard of living, although maybe they have not reached consciousness. It is important to have both, because when meditation and action are combined together, there is even something more.
Nom tananu tadare tani de nim tanadere na
nom tananu tadare tani de nim tanadere na
nom tananu tadare tani de
Sutra. Into blinding darkness go they who worship action alone. Into an even greater darkness go they who worship meditation. Action means that which is external to you. Meditation means that which is internal to you. Action is outer, meditation is inner. Action is extroversion, meditation is introversion. Action is an objective approach. Science is rooted in it. Hence, science insists on experimentation. And because science insists on action, experiment, it destroys all that is more than the external. It denies. It simply denies the world of interiority, the world of subjectivity. It is so absurd that science accepts the outer without accepting the inner. How the outer can exist at all without the inner? It is nonsensical. If there is a coin, it is bound to have two aspects. You cannot find a coin which has only one aspect to it, only one-sided coin. It is impossible. Howsoever thin you make it, it will always have two sides to it. You cannot make it so thin that it has only one side. But science goes on insisting on this foolishness, that the external is true and the internal is false. It believes in matter, but it does not believe in consciousness. It says matter has validity, and science asks for objective validity. Of course, the world of subjectivity cannot have an objective validity. It is so obvious. The very asking is wrong. The inner cannot come and manifest itself as the outer. But science is blind about it. And those who believe in science say that consciousness is illusory. Karl Marx, who thinks he is creating a scientific communism, says that consciousness is an epiphenomenon, a byproduct of matter. It does not exist in its own right. It is just the combination of material elements, chemistry, physics. It is just a combination, nothing more than that. When a person dies, the elements start falling apart, and then there is left no consciousness. Hence there is no immortality, no soul. Man becomes just a machine with a wrong notion that it has a soul. Man is not a he or she, but only an it. This scientific approach has colored even the world of psychology. In fact, 90% of the psychologists should not use the word psychology at all. It is just wrong for them to use the word, because they deny the psyche. And still they go on using the word psychology. 90% of the psychologists belong to the school called behaviorism. They say man is nothing but his behavior. There is nobody inside him. The inside exists not. Whatsoever man is, he is on the outside. Hence, he can be studied just like any object, any other object. He can be studied like any other machine. Isa Upanishad says, into blinding darkness go they who worship action alone. They are falling into a blinding darkness by only following the outer, the extrovert, the objective. They are losing all sense of the inner. They will exist like robots. That's why it was so easy for a man like Joseph Stalin to kill millions of people. You see the strange world of logic. Krishna could say to his disciple Arjuna, you can kill, there is no problem, because the soul is eternal. It cannot be killed. It cannot be burned. No weapon can enter into it. There is no way. No sword, no spear can even touch it. Neither the fire can burn it. The soul is immortal, eternal. Only the body dies. Hence, he says to his disciple, Arjuna, don't be worried. Don't feel guilty. You can kill because nothing is killed. When you kill a body, nothing is killed because the body is already dead and the soul is immortal. So who is killed? The body was already dead, has always been dead, it is matter. And the soul has always been immortal, is still immortal. You are only delinking them. And there is nothing wrong in delinking them. You are just separating them. Separating the essential from the non-essential. In fact, you are doing a great service to the person you are killing. He himself was not able to separate the essential from the non-essential. You have done it for him. And Joseph Stalin could kill millions of people. The logic was totally different, but the result is the same. That's why I say the world of logic is very strange. Joseph Stalin is a scientific communist. a fanatic follower of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. He says there is no soul, so nothing is killed. You can kill. The body is only matter, and the matter will remain. The air will remain in the air, the earth will go back to the earth, the water will go to the water, and all the elements will be dispersed back. And there is no soul, so nothing is killed. Without any guilt, he killed millions of people. Arjuna also killed millions of people without any guilt. Mao Zedong did the same. But their approaches are very different. But it seems to deny one, either the external or the internal, is dangerous. Its ultimate outcome will be destruction. Hence the Isha Upanishad is right: into blinding darkness go they who worship action alone. Into an even greater darkness go they who worship meditation. Meditation alone, again, leads to another extreme. Meditation means the internal, the subjective. It means introversion. And obviously, the introverts start denying all external reality. They start saying it is Maya, it is illusion. Religion is born out of choiceless awareness. The first who has chosen action alone becomes a scientist. The second who has chosen meditation alone becomes a philosopher. But both miss the whole. And remember one thing: the half-truth is far more dangerous than the untruth itself. The partial truth is more harmful than the untruth itself. Why? Because it is very difficult to refute the partial truth, because it has something of truth in it, although it is partial. But because of that presence, it is difficult to deny it. One is moving towards the external, the other is moving to the internal, and reality is both and more. That's my approach here. The total approach to life. Therefore, I don't say to my sannyasins, escape to the monasteries or to the Himalayan caves. I don't say, renounce the world. Renouncing the world means renouncing action. Then what you will be doing in your caves and your monasteries? Then only meditation is left. In the past, this has been the case. Either a person lived in the world, then he was very active, but his action was superficial, because there was no meditation in him, no depth, no inner world. He was just his behavior. He was just his outer garb, his periphery. Naturally, he created a superficial world with no depth, with no height. He created a very poor world. And then there was the other extremist who escaped from the world, seeing its superficiality, seeing its peripheralness. He renounced it. Of course, he started going deeper into himself, but his going deeper into himself became uncreative. He had a depth, but that depth remains unexpressed. He was silent, but there was no song in it. And when a silence is without song, it is dead. It has depth, but no manifestation. You may be a great painter, but unless you paint, what is the point of being a great painter? You may be a great poet, but unless you sing, what is the point of your being a great poet? So on the one hand, there were people who had chosen action, the world, the extroverts, and on the other hand were the introverts who has chosen their own being. Both were lopsided. Hence I agree with the Upanishads, a life has to be total, not lopsided. Only then there is balance, and in that balance is music. In that balance there is a center and a circumference. In that balance you are rooted in yourself, but you are not uncreative, you are creative. The monks, the nuns down the ages have been absolutely uncreative. They have not contributed anything to the world. In fact, the superficial people have contributed far more. Hence this emphasis. The Isha Upanishad says, into blinding darkness go they who worship action alone. Into an even greater darkness, remember the emphasis, into an even greater darkness go they who worship meditation alone. The Upanishads are really courageous. They say the truth as it is, with no compromise. Nobody would have thought that the Upanishads will be so hard on meditation. It can be understood easily that they are hard on the extrovert mind, but they are harder on the introvert, for the simple reason that the extrovert was superficial, but at least he has contributed something to the world. You can see it. The East has lived with meditation alone, and the West has lived with action alone. The West lives in a kind of blindness, but the East lives in a deeper darkness, in a deeper blindness. The Western mind is superficial, but it at least has contributed much. Technology, industry, scientific farming, it has given people a better standard of life. It may not have given them a better quality of life, but at least it has given them a better standard of life. It has given them better houses, better roads, better cars, better aeroplanes. It may not have given them a better consciousness, but it has contributed. It has been creative. Of course, superficially. But the East, which became escapist in the name of meditation, became basically a dropout, has not contributed even that much. What your so-called saints in the East have contributed, it is poor because of those saints. And it is going to remain poor unless those saints are no more respected. But people go on respecting the same old rotten traditions. They cannot see. Deeper is their blindness. Darker is their darkness. They cannot even see who is the cause of all this misery. In the whole world, things have changed, except in this unfortunate country. India is not yet part of 20th century. It lags behind at least 1,000 years. People in India have not been able yet even to provide themselves simple toilet facilities. The whole country is used as a vast latrine. And nobody seems to be bothered about it. It is taken for granted. The whole country is living in unhygienic conditions, in illness. But that too is taken for granted. And we have found explanations and rationalizations for it, that it is because of our past karmas that we are suffering. That means all the sinners are born only in India and all the saints are born in the Western countries, which are materialist. They should not go there at all. But these are ways how to avoid seeing the truth. The truth is that you have praised the inner too much and destroyed the outer. And I agree with the Upanishad that if you have to choose between action and meditation, it is better you choose action. It will lead to darkness, but it will not be so dark as it will be if you choose only meditation alone. But there is no need to choose in the first place. You can have both. When you can have both, why choose? The truth is other than meditation. It is other than action. It is both and more. And you will know the more only if you are capable of creating a synthesis between the outer and the inner, between action and meditation. Meditate, but let your meditation be expressed in action. Act, and let your action become a part of your meditation. There is no dualism. There is no antagonism between the two. One can act meditatively. One can dance meditatively. When you dance meditatively, your dance starts having a new flavor. Something of the divine enters into it. Because if you are meditatively dancing, then the ego disappears. The dancer disappears. That is the whole art of meditation. Disappearance of the ego. Disappearance of the mind. The dancer becomes thoughtless, silent. The dance continues and the dancer disappears. This is what I call the divine quality. Now it is as if God is dancing through you. You are no more there. A meditator can be a dancer. In fact, far greater a dancer than anybody else. A dancer can be a meditator, far greater meditator than anybody else. A painter can be a meditator, and then his painting will have a totally different fragrance, a different flavor, a different beauty. And this is so about all the actions. Whatsoever you are doing, don't renounce it, transform it through meditation. Action has to be transformed, not renounced. The world has to be transmuted. You are not to escape from it. It is a God-given opportunity. And remember, the ultimate truth cannot be reduced either to action or meditation. It is both and more. Never forget the more. Because if you forget the more, you will miss the whole point. You will miss the higher mathematics. It is transcendental. It is surpassing all dualism and all polarities. It is not just the sum total of its parts. It is something more, like beauty, like music, like poetry.
Opening to the sun and
We are almost at the end of this program. We hope you enjoyed it and come back to listen to Osho Radio again. Have a good week, everybody. Take care and namaste. Thank you.